Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Tom.
And I'm Morgan.
And on this episode of Flash in the Pan, everybody was Stickman fighting. We grew up in a world of online animation. And we're digging you out for your consideration. Bringing you the tunes that made us who we are. Flash in the Pan. Terrible. Completely terrible, yeah. Hi, and welcome to another star-studded episode of Flash in the Pan.
You came back. Welcome back.
Hi, we have a very special guest. Joining us all the way from halfway around the world is a Morgan Kitten. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Morgan Kitten, More Kitten on Twitter and other platforms. I was talked about previously in this podcast. What episode was it?
I should have that to hand. One second. You two vamp.
We run a very professional and tight ship. We talked about some of your work previously.
Yes.
It is. Keep going. Keep scrolling.
Yes,
keep
scrolling. It's the animation.
It was back in
episode 13.
Episode 13, entitled
Good, Very Good, Excellent Evan.
Yes, that's right.
I did the Now or Never animation. Y'all talked about it really, really positively, which...
It was great, yeah.
Yeah, we both really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was a weird feeling because, like, I'm kind of embarrassed about it, actually. Just, like,
okay.
I'm proud of the work that I did there. But, like, I can't stand to watch it now because it's, like, so naive and earnest, you know?
I know exactly where you're coming from. Like, it's like, going back to old pieces of work is always... There's always, like, an underlying, like, feeling because you know that you probably... Well, now, you know, if you did it again, you could do it a lot better. Mm-hmm. And also, yeah, as you say, there's a lot of naivety, a lot more naivety back in earlier works.
Yeah.
A lot of the time. But it's I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, though.
It's an emotional roller coaster,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Go on, sorry.
I'm actually proud of the work that I did. I'm proud that I put so much work into it. But if I may give you extra backstory for it.
Oh, yes, absolutely, please.
I actually produced that for in my old school. There used to be a they would incentivize the students and the first year of high school to do their own movies, and we'd make this big movie festival, exhibiting all the students' movies from that year, and it used to be like last year of middle school and first year of high school were the people that competed. But then they were like, oh, we need to get the high school students to focus more on the exams because college admittance exams. So they were like kind of like canning the high school one. And I was first year in high school. And I was like, man, if they're just going to do this, which I really hated, you know, just like cast this aside, because it was really cool, like, to see students be like experimental and like a bit cringy, but like it
yeah,
that sounds really cool.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, you see a lot of movies where it's like, okay, well, this guy had a circle of friends and he just wanted to be the main character and act out his fantasy, you know?
You know what? That describes like half of the shit that we've covered on here. Like, especially like Tomorrow's Nobodies.
Oh gosh,
like...
Tomorrow's Nobodies and yeah. And similar. Oh. Similar. This is a flash about me and all my friends.
Me and my cool friends.
Yeah. And it's like, there's a lot of things like that, but there's a lot of things of like, man, people getting excited and you know, really putting their hearts in this thing. So it was like, you know, if this is going out, I'm going out with a bang and I'm learning Flash I'm just going to do an animation right now and just like pour everything that I have into it. So like, I'm really proud on that front, but it's
absolutely.
Yeah, the contents of it is are just like, oh my gosh, I showed this to a bunch of people.
It is genuinely very sweet.
It definitely is. I like the fact that you heard that they were like stopping the program, and you're like, well, fuck that. I'm gonna show them how wrong they are, and
Exactly.
the world deserves my art.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy y'all enjoyed it. Like when I show to people, they're just saying like, "Oh, this is nice," and I'm like, "Okay, you aren't cringing through it. Okay, that I'm glad."
It's really nice. It's really wholesome. There's not enough wholesome content on the internet. It's nice. This makes a change.
Thank you so much.
Great. So, before we get into the cartoons we talked about, what's your own, apart from the stuff you've made, what's your own kind of history with Flash as a medium?
I think as many viewers here in the show watched a lot of stuff on like Newgrounds and Albino Black Sheep
The classics.
and yes, the classics, the early 2000s classics. And I didn't really understand completely English, I was learning English. So, some jokes and some kinds of cartoons were like kind of inaccessible to me because they weren't as slapsticky. That's the thing though. That's the thing about, why do certain content boom on the internet is 'cause there's a lot of people who don't have English as their first language. And when you put some subtitles or when your humor is very slapsticky, that's very accessible to that audience.
No, physical comedy is a universal language that we all understand.
Yeah, that's
Yes.
why the world loves Mr. Bean, but
Yes.
Blackadder is only in a few countries.
And also just referential stuff, just I was a video
Yeah.
game nerd and still am, and so like stuff like Mario versus Sonic, which you covered before. It's like one of the my memories of like things that I watched and was like obsessed.
I mean, it's Mario versus Sonic. What more do you need?
Yeah,
Exactly.
the two global juggernauts, yeah.
Two global juggernauts by Randy Solum. I was really into Newgrounds and stuff like that, but I never animated. I didn't know how to use Flash, and I only learned it like when I made that movie that I made that was already past my age of like watching Newgrounds stuff, but it was like I really wanted to animate and try my hand in animation.
That's a pretty cool story,
Yeah,
honestly, and
yeah.
especially to go from, because you mentioned you hadn't really done any animation stuff before working on the cartoon that we covered, and I think to go from being a complete novice to putting out something that made a lot of people pretty happy,
Yeah.
like I think that's something to be proud of.
Yeah.
Thank you. You're flattering.
Well, speaking of content to be proud of, would you like to introduce the first couple of cartoons we're going to be watching?
Yes, we will be watching Xiao Xiao, which I think everyone knows what that is. I think it's like I think the most or one of the most popular Flash animations of all time.
It's definitely up there,
It's
yeah.
up there.
If you want to watch along with us, then links to all of the cartoons we talk about will be on the website, flashinthepancast.com. We're going to be watching Zhao Zhao 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
And we're back. That was Zhao Zhao 1-3.
That was Zhao Zhao 1-3.
Yeah.
It's still as fun
It's very
as
fun.
when I was 12.
Wait, are we
Yeah.
gonna talk about all the three ones or like what are we gonna do?
Yeah. We can talk about them in order.
Yeah, let's talk about them
Okay.
in order.
Because they get more
Yes,
Sure.
they do. Yes, they do.
Yeah, so if you want to start us off talking about the first one, Morgan?
The first one is very compressed.
Very, very compressed, yeah.
Yes.
It looks like it was a GIF that was made into Flash or video,
Yeah.
is my impression of it.
It might have been.
Maybe.
I'm not sure though. That's the impression that I get. It's very much got that energy of like GIFs you would put on your forum signature.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was definitely someone in like the early to mid 2000s that had some of this as a forum signature, like without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, it's It's nice. I mean, so for those who don't know or who haven't watched, and you should watch. Zhao Zhao is one of the biggest stick figure martial arts / combat series.
I don't know if we're gonna get into it later, but what came first? Because we had Joe Zombie and Stick Fight, but like, what was Zhao Zhao first?
I think they were happening around the same time.
Yeah.
I don't know what the exact genealogy is.
Yeah, when browsing for comments for Zhao Zhao number one, I definitely saw some early comments that were like, Zhao Zhao rules, but Joe, what's the name of the other one?
Joe Zombie.
Yeah, Joe Zombie is also really good. So I think they were like around the same time, just this explosion of stick figure fights.
Yeah, they all seem to happen at the same time, which is...
Yeah, I wonder if, and maybe one of our listeners can write in and let us know, like, what the original violent Stickman Flash cartoon was. Because there are a lot of similar traits between them.
Yeah. I mean, since time immemorial, human beings have been doing stick fights. It's cavemen.
That's true. Yes. That's true.
That's true.
Fuck. I can't believe it. You're right.
Early caveman was like, what if Stickman did violence?
It's like the cool S.
It is. It's like the cool S. In the Lascaux Caves.
Where it came from.
In the Lascaux Caves, there are stick men fighting buffalo and also a cool S. But yeah, so we get a good escalation of violence in the first one, I think, from just punching to a stick and then daggers, and then he throws his shoe.
It's incredible that second stick person survives because like he gets pinned to the wall.
Oh yeah,
and then has one dagger, two daggers, bazooka,
machine gun,
shot at, and then he just gets back up.
Yeah,
like
yeah, it's. What I really appreciated is that, like, of course, it's violent. Like, there's blood and everything. Like, people getting stabbed. But it's not, like, it's not overly so. I feel like there's a lot of people around this era that were just, like, hamming it up with the gore. And I feel like in this case, it's more like for comedy and to sell the action. It's just, like...
Yeah.
From the scenes of, like, throwing the dagger to the escalation of, like, oh, and now he throws a shoe. And then
yeah,
a
that's
bazooka.
Great. That's that's a good joke.
That's a really good joke.
It definitely doesn't take itself too seriously. Like, it knows what it is, and it knows that we're all just trying to have fun.
Yeah.
So Zha Zha number two, which you can play for yourself, because it's a game. You can play it on Newgrounds. Also in the YouTube link, there is just a little playthrough of the different stages of the game.
Yeah.
You are... the main character, whose name? Does the main character have a name?
I think officially the main character is Zhao Zhao, from what I've researched.
I was about to say, is the main character just called Zhao Zhao?
Okay, that makes sense. And you're doing these timing-based combat puzzles. It's kind of similar to the mini-games in Street Fighter, I suppose?
Yes.
Yeah, it's timing-based. It's very like, if you played Kirby Superstars Megaton Punch, it's exactly like that.
A classic.
Just a strength bar, and then you press space.
Yeah.
And yeah, it escalates from knock down this pillar to deflect all of these projectiles to beat up a purple man.
Mm-hmm. What's really interesting is that, like, there's three different results depending on your timing. If your timing is very poor, if your timing is off, or if your timing is perfect.
Yeah, it's neat.
Yeah, I played it myself. It's not like very demanding, I don't feel. So it's like it's fun to just like try out all the different ones and see the different scenes. It feels like it's made with that in mind. Like you go from weak to medium to the perfect one. There's scenes. There's the projectile scene, the cannon shooting projectiles. It's very much like. It's like an evolving fight scene, like, oh, he loses earlier, and then he loses midway through, and then he wins.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And I like, again, like, there's a good sense of timing, there's a good sense of rhythm.
It's good jokes, too, like...
Yeah.
There's very good jokes, like, when he just, like, the first one against the pillar, his first animation is to wind up a punch, but every time, like the medium and the low accuracy ones where he loses, like he tries to punch the pillar and it's, you know, different results, but they both don't work. And then, you know, when you get it perfect, he winds up the punch, but then just gets a dynamite and just explodes.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a good Wile E. Coyote solution.
It really is, yeah.
Yeah. It's very good comedy. It feels very much like this person was a fan of, like, the slapstickness of Jackie Chan fights.
It definitely.
Yeah, and speaking of Jackie Chan and increasingly good fight choreography, Zhao Zhao 3, which I think for a lot of people was like the Zhao Zhao they saw, like ramps things up significantly. It's like three times as long. You've got backgrounds, you've got all these different characters, you've got a really good escalation. And yeah, it does. A lot of it does feel quite Jackie Chan. Also, it feels a bit Stephen Chow,
yeah, a little.
As well. Yeah, which would make sense given the creator was Chinese.
Yeah, and it was the most popular one for a reason. Like, it really blasted off Xiao Xiao into popular mainstream. It aired on MTV.
Wow.
It was the catalyst to a lot of things for the creator, Zhu Zixiang. I hope I said that correctly.
If not, then one of our listeners will definitely write in and let us know how to.
Yes, undoubtedly.
Yeah, so the third one almost has a plot.
Yeah, it feels like the martial arts like heist scene where, you know, a character enters a building full of goons and they have to fight their way up to the boss.
Yeah, and the boss appears and everything stops and a little sign comes on that says, the boss.
That's how you know.
Yeah, and again, like, there's just a good escalation, like, the weaponry changes, and, like, I like how in the third one, you know, he's fighting with, like, a bow staff, basically, for a lot of it, and, like, you know, the stick bends and so on.
Yeah.
And, like, there's just a really good sense of movement, even though it's all stick figures.
Yeah, movement, like, and impact.
Yeah, and you got the motion blur, and you even get, and this, which made you, Alex, just like laugh out loud.
Yeah,
you get the sudden Matrix camera swivel.
Yeah, well, I mean, because we've been watching like three entirely 2D stick fight things, and suddenly like, by the way, it's 3D now. It comes out of nowhere, but it's amazing.
It's definitely a pop off moment. Like when that happened, we're like, oh.
Yeah,
and also once or twice there's the bit where, and this is, I remember this because I was thinking about Jackie Chan, because Jackie Chan in an interview a while ago said that if you want to really sell a hit in an action film, you gotta shoot it three times and show each impact one after the other. And a couple of times you do see, you get the hit, then you get the hit again, then you get the hit again, zoomed in a bit, so you really feel the impact.
Yeah, it's definitely got that Jackie Chan thing too, of like, you know, using the environment around him as a way to improvise and use it to your advantage. It's very much rooted in that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's cool. And the series itself only escalates toward the I think there are 9 parts in total and a few other
spin-offs
and
yeah.
So on. One thing that did come up, I forget which one of us mentioned it, was throughout all of the fights, the characters seem to shrink the more they do.
Yeah, and that happens in all three of them, I noticed.
Yeah.
Like, they all, at some point, they I'm not sure why, but like they shrink over the course of the animation. It's not entirely clear why, but they do.
It feels like it's not on purpose, you know, like, oh, you're just drawing it and then it happens. But at the same time, it's so like consistent, and even on 3, where it has like some really good like 3D perspective and a lot of work put into it, it still happens. So I'm kind of inclined to believe that it may be like an in-joke with the offer, because Xiao Xiao apparently means in Chinese like little person.
Oh.
So I think it could be like making fun of that, like, oh, you know, when
maybe
I draw stick figures fighting in my notebook, they just get smaller as they go on, so...
Well, you've got to make space for all the good punches and so on.
Yeah, absolutely, sure. Yeah.
Or maybe the author is... maybe the author is making a point about how if you have to resort to violence, then you're just a very small person.
but, it's more of the other.
A little bit of editorializing there.
Zhao Zhao, surprisingly, a pacifist text. Morgan, you have done a little bit of background research into the origins and stuff behind Zhao Zhao. So if you would like to join us, I believe it's time for some Flash. Go ahead.
So, Xiao Xiao is done by, as I said it before, Zhu Zikang. He was born in 1976, age 43 now. And he is best known for, you know, Xiao Xiao. He lives in Beijing, where he is an internet phenomenon in China, which does not surprise me. Like, if you're local and you do something that reaches, like, the entire world, you just get, like, crazy stardom. He did advertising for companies with Xiao Xiao. Like, there's one of the Xiao Xiaos that we haven't covered that has, like, it's, like, sponsored by Heineken.
What?
So he uses a bottle of Heineken as a weapon.
Oh my god.
And of course the bottle never breaks.
Of course. Yeah.
Because I really like the idea of Heineken leading into the idea that beer will make you violent.
I mean, for some people. Yeah.
And,
I don't know, like, coming from a country with a suicidal drinking culture.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
I mean, I think every drinking culture has a bit of that.
Oh, it's really bad over here.
Oh, no, like...
Oh, it's really bad here. Oh, it's so bad.
Yeah, we actually have a reality TV show which is just about the police dealing with drunk people on Friday and Saturday
so
nights.
Bad.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's so... It's awful.
That's terrible. I didn't know that.
It's a whole, it's a whole culture of stuff to do with drinking over here that really needs to be, it really needs to be addressed. But let's not talk about that.
Yeah, I could go on. So like I said, Xiao Xiao means like little person or like, you know, like the names of the cartoons are. Not actually like Xiao Xiao number one, number two, but like they, if you look closely, they have like subtitles to them.
Okay.
Where it's like the complete name of the cartoon. So, you know, Xiao Xiao number one was titled Xiao Xiao Zhu Pin, which translates to a little bit of creative work.
Okay.
Xiao Xiao being like little bit. So like Xiao Xiao number four is Little Sheriff.
Ah.
And number seven is Little Movie.
Huh.
But they're all little movies. Oh no, my head.
Yes. But the term has, you know, shifted into like being about the series and more about the character. You know, the two main characters of Xiao Xiao are Xiao Xiao himself and the boss, which is usually the only one whose like prowess in martial arts can rival Xiao Xiao.
The purple one, yes.
Yes. A very cool thing happened in July 2004 in which Nike used like stick figures for advertising campaign,
mm-hmm.
like very much like referencing Xiao Xiao, and Zikang sued Nike. He was like, "You're using my stick figures, which I know are mine and not nobody else." Okay, these are my stick figures that you're using,
oh
my,
my
characters.
God.
And he won the settlement.
take that, Nike.
Fuck you, Nike.
Which is crazy, right? Like, you'd think,
that
like,
is.
There's no way you can copyright just stick figures.
Yeah.
But somehow,
yeah,
like,
mean...
the way that Nike did it, I don't know what the advertising campaign was like, but it was very... like channeling Xiao Xiao and trying to get away with it.
They must have made the stick figures get gradually smaller, and that's how he knew. That's how he knew. He was like, hey, wait a minute.
Are you having trouble getting your new Nike tracksuit to fit? Well, just start fighting 20 men in a warehouse.
And you'll get smaller.
you'll be small enough that it fits perfectly. But don't fight any more people after that, because you will just keep shrinking. And eventually it won't fit anymore.
Eventually we won't be able to find you.
Yeah, and that's actually the origin of the Borrowers. They were,
they were rowdy people. They just fought too much.
Yeah, and they eventually and they just got really small.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so he won a lawsuit against Nike.
Yes, $36,000.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
That's okay. Not bad.
That's not as much as I thought it would be.
But like, that's a year's salary.
Not bad.
Yeah.
So was there anything else, or was
that was pretty much it. I think.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's a cool place to end on.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Do we know what he's doing nowadays, or is he
I don't know. It does not say anything beyond the Nike suing, other than on the Xiao Xiao page, it just says that Xiao Xiao number 3 was the one that like exploded in popularity. It was featured on MTV. It was definitely the one that Xu Jikang says that it's the one that he most put work on, and I think it shows.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much it for Xiao Xiao.
Cool. Thank you. I feel enlightened. Yeah. I feel educated. As always, Juju Kang, if you're listening, please do write in flashonthepancast@gmail.com.
If he even speaks English.
Okay. Juju Kang, ni hao. That's literally the only Mandarin I know. Please,
you know, a lot of like one words for each language. You were just telling me that like two expressions in Portuguese.
That is true, yes. Well, speaking of which, obrigada for that segment, Morgan.
Wait, you just know how to say thank you.
Yes, I just know how to say thank you, and yes
I
and
mean,
no.
Those are good things to know in all languages.
Yeah, I don't even know how to say sorry, I don't speak Portuguese.
Wow.
Okay, would you like to start us off with the first comment?
Evo Ninja Penguin, on April 19th, 2003, he says, okay, is he invincible? Okay, man, isn't he dead? He was hit in the head with a throwing axe, 2 knives on the chest and crotch, an arrow to the leg, about 15 bullets in his body, and a missile exploding behind him. Duh, he's dead. And how did that guy split into 2 guys? Oh well, it was nice.
I had issues with this on a fundamental level, but in general I enjoyed it.
It was actually, there was a similar comment I found from back when the Zhao Zhao number 1 was first posted on Newgrounds in 2002 by someone called Ornery. Who said, nothing beats an original except maybe a third. Just one question, how the hell did he survive all that? To which Zhu himself replied,
he is Xiao Xiao, he cannot be killed.
I mean,
okay,
true.
Alright, that clears that one up, thanks for that. Okay,
Alex,
so
you wanna
we got Superman of Steel, the Superman himself. Uses Newgrounds in 2019, and he said, this started the epic stick fights. Is someone saying epic in 2019?
Someone was saying epic in 2019. Yeah. I mean, by the time we get to Zhao Zhao number 3, like, the scope of the fight is pretty epic. You know, there are like 30 casualties.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It gets to, madness combat later on.
That was something that Zhao Zhao 3 reminded me of a lot,
was madness
combat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure we talked about how Madness was most likely inspired by stick fights.
Yes, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
There's a comment. Yeah. way back when, in 2001, by Mikey Boy 13 that says, "Holy sheep shit."
Okay.
"That is some nice Flash. You get a -2 on style for using sticks. But damn it, who cares? You had sweet animation." "No, seriously, that was some great animation. Just imagine the amount of motion tweens it took for that." You know what?
It's probably, yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very respectful of the craft.
I think yeah. So, yeah. I mean, that's what I think whenever I'm watching, like, the Olympics on TV. I'm thinking, wow, that pole vaulter was amazing.
Yeah.
Imagine the amount of motion tweens it took.
I look at that and I say, wow, that jumping is amazing. But -2 for using the sticks, though. instead of jumping yourself.
Do it without sticks. Like, don't be a coward.
Junkmaster, who gave it 5 out of 5 in February 2002. "My brother Dark Viper speaking."
Oh my god.
So already, Junkmaster has brought in the big guns.
My big brother Dark Viper
I mean,
is here.
I was definitely, like, sometimes as a kid, I definitely, like, fucking used my brother's computer to just say stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dark Viper speaks and says, "Yo peeps, Dark Viper in da house. I'm in control of Stevie's account right now, aka Junkmaster. I went and saw Zhao Zhao 1 a long time ago. A long, long time ago, sorry. When Zhao Zhao 3 first came out, let me tell you, trying to find his cartoons on his Korean site was tough because, well, I couldn't read Korean." Brackets. "Although my Taekwondo master is Korean. Grandmaster Park!"
Grandmaster Park! Woo woo!
He continues, "But I eventually found it. It was also hard, because his site is devoted to many things like business and women and games and reviews and shit. Let's see. This, compared to number 7, horrible. But I love the Zhao Zhao series. Juju has inspired me a lot. But one question remains in my mind. Where the hell did Zhao Zhao number 6 go?"
You're going to have to answer that eventually. Or at least you two.
Yeah. We will one day. For you, Dark Viper.
We will find Zhao Zhao number 6.
Brother of Stevie, aka Junkmaster. Also, Grandmaster Park, if you're listening.
Okay, I've got a few less comments, which are a beef between 3 users. I'm telling you right now, since I picked it, I want to be the last one. I'm gonna paste the first 2, and you two decide which one you're gonna read.
Alright.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
You can be Timberwolf.
Okay. Right. So this was August... oh my god, it was today!
In 2002.
In 2002. All those years ago. 2002.
Exactly 17 years ago.
5 questions. Number 1, why do they keep getting smaller?
Yeah,
fair enough.
Fair.
Number 2, what did the writing mean? Oh my god. It's okay. Number 3, after the spear, knives, arrow, gun, and bazooka, why was he still alive? Number 4, where did the other guy multiply? And 5, when that guy's arm got ripped off, why didn't he die? P.S. Don't tell me to use my imagination. I don't have one. I watch TV instead.
Oh my gosh. I think that last line is just like some Offspring lyrics.
I think so.
Okay, to which Leak 2 replied, "Good movie. Hey Timberwolf, why not? Number 1, they get smaller, why not? Number 2, the writing is Chinese, you dumbo. Number 3, do you have a problem with spears, knives, bazooka, etc. hitting him? It's a Flash. It doesn't have to make 100% sense. Number 4, if you watch TV, I'm sure you would know about some shows such as Dragon Ball. P.S. I think you should really use your imagination before you get more dumb. Other than that, the movie kicked ass. Smiley face. Peace. Why?"
Okay, and then there's a third comment by another user.
Okay.
That's still an... replying to Timberwolf called Parasol, by someone called Parasol in August 13, 2002. "Eat some shit, Timberwolf!" I would just like to comment on the fact that Lictor Timberwolf, a new one in his review, Zoo for Life. That was the comment.
Oh, wow. I don't think we can follow that. So
that's
Xiao Xiao.
That's Xiao Xiao. Wow.
Thank you for these comments, gifts, Morgan.
You're welcome.
So what do you have next up on the docket for us to look at?
Next on is a Flash that I remember watching it a lot and really enjoying it, called Rokemon.
Rokemon. Okay,
I'm not
then.
Sure what the R stands for, but maybe we'll find out.
Huh. My Zero can beat your wimpy little plane to have anything in the wing.
Oh yeah? We'll just see about that, you necklace monster.
And we're back. That was Rokemon.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
Alex, you want to start us off here?
Surprised to... I wasn't expecting to see Rystar and Dynamite Henny today.
No!
But now I've seen them and my day's been enriched, so that's good. So they have a Pokemon battle using... I think Dynamite Henny uses... Zero from Mega Man, and Rystar uses, I forget, what does Rystar use?
Plantet. I think
Plantet.
I don't know where Plantet is from. It might be from Starfy or something.
Hold on. We can just look this up.
Oh,
we have
true.
The power of the internet.
We do have the power of the internet.
Plantet. Please don't be porn. Please don't be porn.
I'm getting already just like... Piranha Plant wearing the super crown.
Oh, that would make sense.
God damn it,
Oh no, you're right. That's all that's coming up.
Fucking damn it.
I think it's from Mega Man Power Fighters, where all the Mega Man sprites are from also.
Okay. Well, that would make sense.
Okay.
So we have Plantet from, what was it, Mega Man Power Fighters?
Yeah, I think it's minor anime.
And Zero. And they've been made into Pokemon for the amusement of Dynamite Henny and Rystar.
Yep.
And more Pokemon trainers.
Yeah, so they have a Pokemon battle and things just escalate. it just gets And there's a bunch of, like, in-jokes which just are utterly and completely lost on me and probably anybody who would be watching it in the here and now. If it were anybody that wasn't around in certain Newgrounds circles, probably wouldn't get it. Like, the whole stay away from the car motherfucker thing.
It was, and I quote, "Get away from the car, motherfucker."
Yeah.
Yeah,
like you didn't really know what that was.
I had no idea.
And also the duck from Earthbound, named Hawk. It might be an in joke of Newgrounds. I'm not sure.
Now the duck just on its own is fucking great.
Yeah,
I love that duck.
Yeah, and that duck would show up in quite a few little animations and so on from around this time.
It would, yeah.
I remember, like, on one of the forums I frequented back in the day, like, at least one person had that duck as an avatar. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're not so much in-jokes as, hey, you remember this thing from a video game.
Yes. Yeah, I was gonna say. And I think it's really good at that because, like, it's really good at getting all the aesthetics right. Like, all the sprites and the way they animate and the sounds used. It's very much like Zero uses a spin dash and the sounds are correct. And, like, when Zero hits Plantet, it bounces off of it exactly like it would from hitting a boss in Sonic with the same sound. Stuff like Zero using the hookshot to get a heart container. Like,
it uses the sound from Ocarina of Time. Yeah.
Yeah, and... Like, the thing that most impressed me was the boss from Dynamite Henny, one of the, like, I think Zero summons a boss from Dynamite Heady, and it's, like, the arms are, like, divided into sections as they would in the original game.
Yeah.
And it, yeah, on the Mega Drive style, yeah.
Yeah, the Mega Drive style spindly arms, like, balls 3D, but better.
It's, yeah, it's spot on. It's very impressive. Just
animates
for that on its
own. So well.
And even the ones I didn't recognize, like, I think there were a couple of things from Fire Emblem in there, which,
maybe.
And, like, I haven't played that many, especially, you know, in 2004, I had not exactly played many Fire Emblem games.
No.
So it would have been completely lost on me. But, like, they seem to be done with the same amount of love.
Yeah, and the fire pillar, the giant fire pillar that kills Zero at the end, I think is a reference to Super Smash Brothers. Where when you summon Ho-Oh, like the pillar of fire that emerges is like kind of like huge like that and spiraling, and it lasts for a long time.
That would make sense because you already have the Kirby reference for Super Smash Bros. In there, which again is like the sprite work is exactly how you expect it to be. It uses the correct sound effects.
God, I love what I love about that is Zero doesn't just do it. It shows Zero getting the ability as if it was Kirby, right? Like the sound plays, the little icon of the ability shows at the corner of the screen. Zero like uses a boomerang just to showcase the ability exactly like it would be in Kirby, and then he goes and does it, and it's perfect.
Yeah.
now Morgan, correct me if I'm wrong, but you are at least a minor fan of Kirby.
At least a minor fan of Kirby. I'm a big fan of Kirby, and of
good.
Mega Drive stuff, and this, you know, Rystar and Dynamite Heady are like the first thing you see there, like basically, and it's like, oh my god, I've played these games.
Would you say you felt very seen?
Yes, I felt very seen, and I think that's exactly why, like, when I was thinking of animations to bring to the show, like, that popped into my head just, like, suddenly.
Yeah.
It's really good. It goes on a little bit too long. I wish they would cut out some of the weaker skits. Because basically every attack is, like, a bite-sized skit. But some of them aren't really, like, very funny.
Yeah, so would you think that it is just not funny anymore because it's not relevant? Like, maybe this was hilarious at the time, but now we're watching it with 2019 eyes, and we're like, eh.
I think it was definitely a lot funnier then, but also, like, it's a joy to see the animation is just, like, really well done, and some of the slapstick is good, too.
Yeah, for me personally, like, it's nice to see, like, a sprite animation cartoon with, you know, a lot of effort put into it.
Yeah, a huge amount.
Like, the difference between this and Mario versus Sonic from Randy Solem is, like, amazing, right? Like, sprites don't change size, the animation is on point. It's really well done.
Yeah, and apart from being a bit slow, like, the timing of things is pretty good, obviously things are going to look a bit out of place because you're mixing so many different resolutions and styles, but it has that kind of collage style that actually kind of works. So when the duck does appear for the final summon attack, and the fact that it's just really zoomed in, it kind of looks funnier. But what I was going to say is that it's not just that it's got a lot of work put into it, and, you know, clearly this took a decent amount of effort and cobbling all this stuff together, but also because it's a sprite animation that isn't just about Sonic and Mario.
And that's nice.
Yeah.
It was so rare to see a sprite thing that didn't have
the big two.
Either of those. I mean, because as you said, they're the big two, so those are the things that people tend to focus on.
Yeah, because if I had seen this when it came out, when I would have been 13, right?
Oh, wow, yeah.
I would have no idea what most of the things happening were, because I was never a Mega Drive child.
Yeah.
And so I would have no idea who Raystar was, who Dynamite Heady was. I wouldn't have played Mega Man even. Not really.
No.
And so this almost feels like it's from an alternate universe.
The
references are weird, right? Like there's references that are things that are like not really very popular, or like they just feel completely random. Like Plintet, like we were trying to find like where was Plintet from, and I think it's a minor enemy from Mega Man Power Fighters, and it's like, why would you pick this one? That's incredible. That's like weird.
It's another case of what feels like an animation for a specific group of people.
Yeah.
Like, what was that? There was the one animation we covered, like...
Eevee Party?
That was the one.
Yep.
If that felt like it was for a specific set of people that just happens to get some notice, this feels like that, but like a different version of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
I do get what you mean. Yeah. Also, if you want to experience the joys of Eevee Party, please go back to episode 7, last year, where we covered Eevee Party 2, which was a delight.
Mm. Eevee Party's so good.
Eevee Party is amazing.
So wholesome.
Other stuff we haven't mentioned. Like, there are a couple of jokes that are not just video game references.
Yeah, I think we covered that. Like, the base one, just, like, get away from the car, motherfucker.
Yeah, at one point, Plantet uses Sandstorm, and Zero just puts like, a cloak up and says, "Sucker." Which, again, 2004.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But also, we get some vintage Leet speak in here.
Mm-hmm.
The word owned with a 3 instead of an E. But before that, the first thing that Plantet does is quote unquote a fear attack. That's fear spelled, can you guess?
P-H-3-3-R.
I think it's the first thing that Plantet does.
Yeah. So, you know, it sets the tone early. Also, at one point, Plant Man is summoned by Plantet. I think I said when it happened, like, come help me, Dad.
Yes. Yeah.
Plant Man gets an armor on, and like it.
He looks like Sigma.
He kind of looks like Sigma. I think it's supposed to look like one of the villains from X4. I think his name was Double. And like it's kind of like custom made, so it would fit on Plant Man's body, and like that's a weird amount of effort. That's not like a joke, right? Like, he just puts that armor on. It's not like a joke that he would put that armor on, that specific armor on or anything. It's very weird.
Yeah, well, Morgan, while we were watching, you were saying how impressive some of the custom sprite work was for this.
Yeah, there's some custom sprite work. That the Plant Man thing was the one that most impressed me. Like, wow, they just like really redid this armor to fit his body type. That's amazing.
Yeah.
It looked good.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's I really like when you can see that a lot of effort has gone into something very small that only, you know, a dozen people will properly appreciate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And at one point, before we get to the credits, which have some amazing amazing names in the credits, but at one point, after being nuked by a Red Alert nuke, Plantet is revived with a Phazon stone, Phazon from Metroid, and becomes flash animated as opposed to a sprite.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think at that point he was having so much, he was working so hard on the sprites that it was like, fuck it, you know, this would be easier if I just...
You know what, yeah. That
like
is,
even the evolution,
fair.
Right? Like everything else was just on point with like all the particle effects, all the sound effects, and everything was just exactly like the games. And then on the evolution, you see like clearly like flash drawn like effects.
Mm.
So I think at that point he was like, I just need to finish this.
That's fair enough.
Yeah,
yeah. It doesn't look bad. It just looks a bit out of place.
Yeah,
and I think I mentioned that its petals kind of pulsate in an uncomfortable way. The last thing that I wrote down is that in the end credits we get some shout outs, and two of the best names happen in the credits, and I just want to see if I can bring them back up. Oh yeah, so we get someone called the Necromancer.
Yes, that's perfect. That's a name you would see. That's a handle that you would see in 2019, for sure.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
Yes. And my other favorite, and I think all of our favorites, is someone called Scorn the Terrible.
Who he's Scorn
for Hedy
and also terrible.
It's interesting, actually, how, like, we get voice acting right at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, the voice acting is really good. Like you know, it's not like, you know, it's the quality is muffled and everything that you would expect from amateur voice acting, but it's like the voices are on point. Like, that's what Dynamite Hedy and Rystar sound like in my mind.
Yeah, I think it's a faithful.
Yes.
Yeah, and like, yeah, then this whole thing is just this, yeah, a comedy labor of love, as have been a lot of things we've covered.
Yeah.
But I think it's rare, outside of like animutations and stuff, that you see so many different things jammed into the same cartoon.
Yeah.
So I think it's time for some more Flash.
All right. So I did some research on the creator of this. Well, let's first talk about Rokemon itself, because it came out. Let me get it. It came out in 2004, and I think that's around the time that I saw it, like 2004, 2005. I definitely remember seeing it new. And this was pretty popular. It has, like, how many pages? 628 pages of comments, so that's how you know it was really popular, and I think it's because of the quality. The creator...
Yeah, and 1.3 million views as well.
Wow. Yes. The creator on Newgrounds is Dragoon Phoenix 15, but nowadays he's most known for his real name, Bill Cass, which we also see, like, first thing in the Flash, like his name instead of Game Freak. Bill Cass is an animator. He kept animating. Improving on animation and doing and moving away from Newgrounds, and he posts stuff on YouTube. And the latest thing that he posted on YouTube was from a year ago, which seemed to be like a pet project of his and his wife, apparently. It seems like ever since he met her, they were like developing this together, which is called, what's the name of it again? Yes, Rakiti and Barracoon, and it's really well done. It feels kind of like, you know, flashy, a little bit like not flashy, but like it feels a little bit like internet animation, you know. But yeah, it's like it's, you can tell that there's a lot of work into this. Like, all the characters are like colored in a painterly way, so like he has to paint them that way for every frame.
Intensive.
Yes, it's a very unique look, and it's like well animated, and it's really incredible. And I hope he gets to finish it with his wife. I think who's also working on it. You know, whoever else is working on it, just finish it, because there's only one episode, and it's incredible. It's a great watch.
Nice. We'll have to check that out sometime.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's available. He's on Twitter and Tumblr as Paper Wasp Nest. And I was looking at his stuff, and he seems like a pretty cool dude. He's like, puts pronouns in his bio. Says that he rambles sometimes about pro feminism stuff, and it's like,
cool,
good for you. Like I was ready to think that. That we were gonna run into like people who went reactionary and like bad, and this guy seems to be pretty cool and chill.
Yeah,
Unfortunately, that does happen, but it is always nice when that does not happen.
Yeah, no, we've covered a couple of people who it turned out were pretty bad eggs, unfortunately. Mm. But we've been lucky in terms of most of the folks we've covered so far.
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool. And yeah, and just browsing through his Tumblr, like, or just little sample animations and so on from Rikiti and Bearcoon, like, it's very sweet.
It's very sweet. I watched the whole thing. It's really good.
Nice.
That's it for information, for background information on Bill Cass and Rokemon.
Well, thank you for the extra info. Yeah. Would you like to delve into a few comments before we cover the last tune?
Yes. Let me grab them.
Okay, Alex, I believe it might be your turn.
Okay. So, we got Puke Puddle, who gave it 5 out of 5. Is that the day it came out?
I think so.
Yeah, on the day it came out, I laughed. I laughed almost my head off. So good is the movie. Honest, make more in this way. I will vote high.
Are you high?
He'll certainly vote high.
Thank you, Puke Puddle. Morgan, you want to take the next one?
Okay, this one is from Pyromaniac 2005. Give it 1 out of 5 stars. Suspiciously, the comment was made in 2004. Even though his handle says 2005, what's the truth, Pyromaniac?
Pyromaniac traveled back in time to warn us.
To warn us of the following. I hated it. Why would you do that to Zero? Zero the homie, man. Zero is way better than that stupid plant. Why couldn't Zero have the super ending beam from space? What's in your head? Zero's the man of the game! Man of the game, by the way, just capitalized every word, just every first letter.
M-O-T-G.
Yeah.
Or never supposed to disrespect the man.
All caps.
Also, why wouldn't Zero have Mega Man X? They are on the same team. I believe that I rated this skit the right way. And I think all Zero fans are with me. Sad, sad, sad.
Oof.
Now, is it true that Zero and Mega Man X always see eye to eye? Because I don't think it is.
I think they fight a lot. I think that you fight him in like half of the games.
Yeah, I thought that too. Yeah. I don't know what the hell this guy's talking about.
I think Pyromaniac just, you know. Also, can I just say, Pyromaniac just perfect mid 2000s.
Perfect.
Because, you know, as part of the whole, you know, post Jonah Vasquez monkey cheese, just burning things as a punchline. Mm-hmm. Comedy gold. Comedy gold.
It never got old. Was never not funny.
Never not funny.
Yeah.
We have another negative review from Biclon, who gave it 0 stars in 2011.
Wow.
Oh, come on, mate.
And said, an all-time gayness of epic proportions.
Hell yeah! Wait, you said hell this yeah. was negative?
I know, right?
Apparently.
Biclon continues. My favorite part was when this shit was over. Then I put my finger in my butt and went to bed. Good night.
That doesn't color this thing badly. It just colors you badly.
Yeah, that sounds like you had a good night, actually. I don't know what you're complaining about. Maybe he didn't rate correctly because he had his finger in his butt.
Mike Lundley lives a full and rich life.
And we support him.
I like the mental image of just him plugging his butt like he wouldn't on a nose. And just staying like that as he
I'm
sleeps.
Going to sleep.
Look, some people, you know, for comfort, they suck their thumb.
Some people have a teddy. Some people sleep with a light on.
Some people, they just need a finger on them. Maybe that will be the first t-shirt we sell. Flash in the pan. Some people just need a finger up them. Right, Alex.
Diablo 17 gave it a 4.5 out of 5. It's pretty high marks in 2004. Unreal. That was awesome. I love the references from other games in there, like StarCraft, Super Metroid, and Diablo 2.
There was Diablo 2?
Apparently. Oh. Well, you would know. It's called Diablo 17.
You're right.
He's played all 17 of them. I also liked the way the battle arena panned around and moved on different angles. That was something else. You really did awesome on this one. My congrats to you.
Yeah, we didn't really talk that much about the cinematography,
yeah,
did we?
Yes.
The cinematography is actually pretty good. As Diablo says, we get different perspectives for different parts of the battlefield. Mm.
Yeah, the attack that Heatman did, where it's like it slowly like goes on the different perspective and you see him like start running and get faster, that's really good.
That is really good.
Yeah. Alright, Morgan.
Alright, this next one is from DrummerBoy1, who gave it a 5 out of 5. And in 2014, which I think is the most recent one. Of all the comments that we curated, he says, "Dude, I seen this on an old site. I can finally tell I love Ur animation. I watched this a lot when I was little. Ooh, automatically get 5 stars. You know what? Aww. That's me."
Oh god! Oh wow! You got a lot. Okay.
Yeah, I got a lot.
I want to keep going because these are fun.
Let's just read them all.
All right. Anthe 87. Nice Utena reference there.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
In 2004, take my revolution. Said nice man. Well, Anthe either said nice man or nice man. That was at. Actually, pretty sweet, man. Lol, it was a little lengthy, but that's fine. Lol, I liked the little bits from all the other SNES games. Ahaha, like the Mario RPG bit was sweet. Aha, and that duck thing from Earthbound. Ahaha.
Okay, well, it's nice. It's nice to get some perspective and see that even in 2004, people were like, oh, that's a bit long.
Yeah, there's a lot of people said like who echoed that, and I think that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, eight minutes is a long time to keep up the same consistent comedy bit.
Yes.
Alex.
Okay, so, oh my god. So this guy is called W1I1L1L1123.
Or just Woo! 23.
that works. In 2008, he said, loads. I saw Pokemon, StarCraft, Mega Man. That's it.
That's it. That's all he saw.
That's all he saw.
I couldn't finish the full bingo card.
No.
I mean, nor could I, honestly.
No.
Okay. Morgan.
Pacino 000 from December 22, 2007 says, "No Chuck Norris."
Oh, the fuck. Boo.
It might sound stupid, but Chuck Norris would have been good in this. Still, absolutely awesome.
Would he have been, though? Has Chuck Norris ever been in a Genesis or Super Nintendo game?
I don't know, actually. I'm sure...
Look, it might sound stupid.
It
certainly sounds it when you spell it like that.
Besides, Chuck Norris, but like by the time Pacino 000 is talking, like Chuck Norris had already been in one of the best big fight Flash animations, namely the
Ultimate Showdown of Ultimate Destiny.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dahata in 2007 said, "Problems. There is only a few problems, like 1. Zero cannot lose against Pokemon. 2. Pokemon can't summon..."
Zero cannot lose against Pokemon.
He just can't. It's categorically a fact that he cannot lose against Pokemon.
I thought the Mavericks were Pokemon. Mm. Oh, wait, no, they're Digimon, sorry.
Golden Dragon 123 in 2007 said, "Haha, hate Pokemon? I just happen to love Pokemon, and I am a RL cop, also..." Back off! Anyway, It was pretty good, but I kept on skipping. It kept on skipping on my computer, though that may have just been my computer.
I swear he was gonna break into like the Navy SEAL copy pasta there.
Well,
what did you say about me?
Thank you, officer, for
your service,
for protecting and serving Pokemon.
All right, and the last comment comes from Teirusu, which is just Tails, you know, written in Japanese. Yeah, in Romaji. July 3rd, 2007, he says, meh. Pros. The fact that it was Pokemon related was good. A big black guy named Bass just appeared when Cutman came. And using my 28th favorite move, Sandstorm. Cons. It wasn't funny.
Okay, now wait. There are actually more pros than cons there. Which to me means that...
That means pretty good, right?
Yeah, it should warrant more of a reaction than meh.
Well, you see, Teirusu actually writes for a late 90s gaming magazine. And so, And so
you read off a bunch of things that you really like, but then you went, but they didn't do XYZ things, so what 2 out of 10.
What I think is wildest about this comment is that using my 28th favorite move... You have a list of...
What is number one?
You have a list that's this extends about your favorite Pokemon move? Like you have a number 30? What?
Father, bring me my charts.
It's on his wall. Like a big conspiracy theory. Like a string linking them all together. I can see it.
Coming soon, series 2 of David Fincher's Mindhunter.
Seriously, what was number one on the list? What's the number one, the best
Pokemon move?
Now, what do you think he would base it on? What's the strongest move? Or
the coolest?
What's the coolest? Or what has the best strategic advantage?
Answer to all three, Seismic Toss.
Like, just seeing something is like, that's my 29th favorite move. I'm so glad. So glad to see it represented.
Well, you know, like comedy is about specifics.
It is, yes.
You know, you don't just say biscuit, you say Garibaldi.
That's true. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That was
that was a journey.
Yeah, that was a palimpsest of comments. That was great.
Amazing.
And we've still got one more cartoon to go. We've got time for it, I think we do.
You know, you told me to bring something unique, something like that I could only bring.
Uh-huh.
And so I just bring a Brazilian Flash animation.
A Brazilian Flash animation?
Yes, that I watched at the time, like 2003 or something. And
okay,
we're gonna watch it.
What's it called?
It's called Pau Brady, which is a parody of Beyblade.
A série desenhos que seus filhos não devem ver apresenta Pau Brady.
Tyson, meu nome é Adirson, e eu desafio você pra uma batalha.
Qual é? Você não tem chance.
É esse trenzinho seu aí contra o meu Paul Brady.
Uau, 100% madeira maciça.
So there's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
Would you like us to tell you what we think happened?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Okay, Alex.
So here's what I think happened.
Okay.
So... what the hell's the Beyblade kid's name? Tyson?
Tyson, yes.
Is it Tyson? Wow, I can't believe I remember that. So, Tyson is quite obviously he's traveling around the world because he's beaten all the strongest Beyblades.
Okay.
So now he's looking for a challenge in other parts of the world.
Yeah.
And he comes up against this, like, country boy who's got, like... wooden Beyblade, and he causes a great upset by using his wooden Beyblade against the superior.
But not a wooden Beyblade, just like a regular like, old spinning top.
Yeah, it's a regular wooden spinning top, which he uses against the Beyblade, and it just utterly and completely
destroys it.
And he gets upset, and he probably accuses him of cheating. And then the other guy is like, well, say hello to my friend Tice. Like, what was it? His friend Ferdinand?
Ferdinando.
Yep, that's the name of the bull, Ferdinand.
And the bull, like, chases him out. And then they have, like, the Looney Tunes tune that plays out the cartoon. And I think that's what happened.
I second that. There was a brief intro screen. Which said something like, what is it? Diseños que sus filios now deben ver, which I'm probably saying wrong, which I think just means, cartoons which the kids have never seen.
Almost there. It's cartoons that your kids shouldn't watch.
Oh, that makes sense. Oh, so this is part of a series.
Yes, this part of the series of like the of parodies of cartoons and anime that this guy did.
Okay, yeah, and it's basically Tyson and his fancy enchanted Beyblade or whatever it is, just getting his shop wrecked by a bumpkin child. and then I'm sure that there's a punchline that makes sense in Portuguese, where there's just a bull that shows up and moves, and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, you got it like 95% there. There's just a
please enlighten
things
us.
You, of course, didn't understand. So yeah, like Tyson's like wanting a duel, and he comes across this kid, which is a country bumpkin kid in Brazil, which is why like Blade is like said in like. Instead of Paul Blade, it's Paul Braid, because it's like a thing to switch the L's and R's.
Okay.
So it's a stereotype.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, Tyson gets his stuff wrecked. But then Tyson says, it's not over yet. I can summon my beat beast, right? Like the thing that comes out of the Beyblade.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Remember that?
It's the giant dragon. Cow. It's just a bull.
Yeah, but then... But then the kid's like, well, I'm going to summon mine, and it's just this bull.
It's just Ferdinand, yeah.
Yeah, it's just Ferdinand the bull, and it chases him down, and, you know, the country kid just says, like, ah, oh, these people from the city, these city slickers.
Mm-hmm. You know what? That is a good punchline.
That is a very good punchline.
that's pretty much the cartoon.
Nice. So, animation-wise, this is pretty much... just drawn over a screenshot from Beyblade and then minimally animated.
Yeah,
very minimally animated.
Yeah.
Very much like the thing of like, you know, there's a couple graphics for hands and a couple graphics for face, and they switch between the two, and then sometimes they, you know, it does like a rotation thing to show some movement.
Yeah, it's very simplistic. I mean, it gives me... Now that I know that this was part of a series, it feels like the kind of thing that would be able to be churned out pretty quickly as, like, a regular feature.
Yes.
Are you able to tell us, like, other cartoons that the guy put together? As in, like, or other parody cartoons?
Well, why don't we just skip to, you know... The next section, so then I can tell all about him.
Do you mean the Flash?
Okay. So this website is the website that started called charges.com.br. And Charges is just another like name for like cartoon for like stuff like newspaper cartoons, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Like these kind of like political cartoons or parody cartoons. And he founded this website, the creator called, hold on, let me get my information here, called Mauricio Ricardo. He started this website in 2000, so that's like really early.
Yeah.
Really like a pioneer, one of the pioneers of Flash animation. And he started this website in 2000 to be like, and the reason why the animation is just so minimal is you know, very obvious. It's the same reason for, you know, South Park's animation is like, okay, I want to be able to churn these out daily.
Yeah.
Daily?
Like, yes. Every day there would be a new cartoon, just like either political cartoon, you know, just about some news about the Brazilian current state of affairs, or parodies of cartoons and TV shows. There's a ton of different, like, mini-series within those, or, like, there's even one that's, like, you know, his original characters. There are two teenagers. I think there's more original stories there, but the one that I remember was these two teenagers, just one called Pimpo and the other one called Fimosis.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh.
Oh, come on. Like, that's such an escalation from Pimple.
Yep.
Alex is making a face,
listeners.
I don't like that. I remember watching, coming across this website in, like, must have been, like, 2002, 2003. I remember very clearly that it was, like, about the time that the show Big Brother was being localized for Brazil.
Okay.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, and I remember very vividly, like, both encountering this website and then, like, I think on the same day, either talking about Big Brother Brazil releasing soon or, like, watching the first episode of it. Because it was, like, this big thing, right? Because reality TV was still, like, something, like, super new. Like, this huge novelty. So I remember the release of Big Brother Brazil being, like, this huge thing. Right? So I remember very clearly, like these things, and then also playing a lot of Sonic Adventure 2 Battle 2
Hell
player.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
You just described a really vivid part of your childhood, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page. And so I watch these a lot, and the thing that I appreciate a lot about them is when he parodies anime and cartoons, you can tell that he's a fan, you know, like that he watches this stuff on the regular.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like the I think all the voice acting is him, you know, he just edits his voice to sound a certain way.
Yeah, there's a lot of pitch shifting and so on.
Yeah, and it's very, like, accurate, like, to the voices of these characters. Not incredibly so, but it's very much like a thing, like, oh, okay, you know how this character sounds in the dub.
Yeah.
And it's very accurate, like it's very much, it comes from very much like a place of love for those cartoons. It's very neat. I was thinking, like, when I was thinking of which one to send to you, I was like between that one and a parody of Cow and Chicken.
Oh my goodness.
Which, the cow gets the what is it called? The crazy cow disease.
Oh, the mad cow chicken disease.
Mad cow disease. And the chicken gets the chicken flu, yes.
Chicken pox or just chicken flu?
Chicken flu.
Okay.
And another cartoon that was like just, there's this another character of him that just interviews people. And sometimes he just interviews characters from anime. And it's like he's interviewing national hero Saint Seiya.
Now there's a deep pull from the past. Wow.
Like, Saint Seiya is huge over here in Brazil.
Wow, really?
It's absolutely, like, intensely huge. It's like Dragon Ball levels of big.
That's it. Wow.
I did not know that.
Yeah? We're learning a lot about cultural sharing today.
Yes.
Something that made me understand a little bit of, like, the difference in how anime is consumed in the US and how anime is consumed over here. I don't know if it's the same for the UK, because I know France had a big anime scene like back in the 90s and 80s.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the same in the UK.
No, not even.
No. Like, anime definitely is consumed and appreciated here in the United Kingdom, but, like, it's nowhere near as popular as it is in the States.
No, like, we did get Toonami.
We did get Toonami.
Later than the US did.
Yeah,
But all the way up to even, like, the late 2000s, like, the thing about Japan was still, yes, mystical land of the Orient with weird porn.
Yeah, we kind of still treat it like that, too.
A little bit.
The best you were going to get with regards to, like,
anime in the UK.
Kids cartoons.
Yeah, kids cartoons. So, like, Pokemon was heavily serialized over here, although it got to a point in, like, I don't know, like, the first two series where they basically just reran the same episode of Pokemon, like, every week. I remember, like, getting up to a certain point and being like, when are they gonna show the next episode?
When are they gonna get to Johto?
They just never fucking did. Like, if you wanted, like, more anime, it wasn't available on terrestrial television.
No.
You had to get, like...
Satellite.
You had to get satellite. And that allowed you to have things like Toonami and, like, I don't remember, there was, like, a Nickelodeon version,
You mean,
was that?
Well, Fox Kids had a lot
Fox
of that.
Fox Kids had that, yeah.
Yeah, we had Fox Kids,
yeah,
too.
So, people are aware of anime over here.
Oh, yeah, they're a lot more aware now, but that's only because the generation, you know, our generation and younger, like, grew up with the internet and with anime just available. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know,
so you would say that it's kind of similar in the sense that, like, the anime boom over there was, like, 2000s.
Oh, yeah, very much so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, okay. I've seen a yaoi paddle or two in my day.
Oh, Christ.
So that's what's different between here and in the US and the UK is, like, I only understood this more recently, but it's, like, anime was a big thing here in the 90s. Like, there were, like... terrestrial channels. There was one terrestrial channel in particular that just aired a lot of anime.
Wow.
And I think that's because we have such a huge population of Japanese people over here.
Okay.
It's like second biggest country with the second biggest Japanese population in the world.
After Japan, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so we had a lot of cultural exchange, cool. And so we got a lot of anime, like, dubbed in, awesome. Like, the 90s. Like, I remember watching Dragon Ball before Dragon Ball Z, which is, like, super weird for people in the U.S. Like, I watched Dragon Ball when I was 5, and when Z came about, I was like, why the hell is his hair golden? Is he, is he a demon now?
Yeah, well, why are
because
these
he looks so pissed all the time.
Punching each other so much?
No, don't stop. Whereas, like, we didn't get Dragon Ball. Like, we got Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah. And then GT.
And then GT.
Unfortunately.
We never saw the original one of Dragon Ball aired over here.
Not really.
And
no.
It wasn't really aired here either. I think it was only on Toonami.
Cartoon Network had.
Cartoon Network, yeah.
There were times when Cartoon Network would just show all of Dragon Ball Z.
I remember this.
Around the clock.
I used to
just sit. Every saga.
I used to fucking sit and just watch it.
Me too. My mum hated it.
I remember, like, being on holiday in the States and, like, accidentally, like, stumbling across an episode of, like, Evangelion that was being aired.
Oh, no.
And being like...
Oh, no.
I was like, whoa, what the fuck is that? I was like, 14 or 15.
Why are,
like,
they fighting a triangle?
What? This it was two things. I was like, wait, what the fuck is this show? And they have just anime on television here?
Yeah.
What?
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's basically why Saint Seiya is just so big.
Okay, well,
but,
that makes sense.
That's we're veering too much into another subject.
Oh yeah,
you're right.
Let's talk
we're recording a podcast, I'm sorry.
The website was released in 2000 and started profiting in 2001. The creator, Mauricio Ricardo, which was born in 1963, just basically left his day job as a journalist for the Uberlândia Mail.
Wow.
In his late 30s when he started doing this.
Yeah. So he left his journalist career just to focus on the website because it was doing so well. He's also, like, a bassist, a singer, a dubber, besides being a journalist and a cartoonist.
Wow.
I'm curious, did he ever, like, do a parody of say, a cartoon that he was part of?
Oh, I don't think so. Like him doing this parody, but it's, like, a cartoon that he made.
Yeah.
Somewhere else. Like, no, I don't think so. I think his cartoons are mostly just here. Though, I think all of his cartoons are in the same kind of style. he mostly just produces these parodies for his website and produced like a few like animated like little vignettes and little joke things for some TV series in Brazil, like Domingão do Faustão and Mais Você and Big Brother Brazil, which are like three huge TV shows from our biggest channel, which is TV Globo.
Okay, yeah, and just clicking on Charges, I forget how you pronounce it.
Yeah, Charges.
Yeah, Charges YouTube channel, like, it still seems to be putting stuff out every single day.
Every single day, he keeps putting stuff out. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's
a lot of views still, too.
I was surprised, too, because the last time I watched this, it must have been, like, 2008 at the most. I was really surprised to see, like, this is still going. Like, I'm surprised and pleased because, like, I could use this for the episode then.
Yeah. Has he always mainly drawn women with enormous breasts?
It looks like it.
I think so, yes.
Look at that one. Holy shit.
Yeah, and they have erect nipples, too.
Of course. I mean, that's the only way the boobs ever are.
Yeah.
That's just how they are. They just, they never stop. That's just how they are.
They never stop.
They never
the
stop.
Boobs never stop.
They never stop.
And so, like, and another thing, too, is, like, I checked his Twitter, and on the front page, too, you see stuff that it's not cartoons. Just him ranting.
Oh boy.
And he has a lot of things to say about Bolsonaro, and he's pretty activist about it.
Okay.
He's like, fuck this dude.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I
okay.
mean...
But... And that was another pleasant surprise, because I swear he was gonna, like, as soon as I was gonna see into him, it's like, ah, he's probably a shitheel now.
You don't want to judge a book by its cover, but just based on these thumbnails... You might think, like, maybe you wouldn't exactly expect activism from someone who draws women like that, but that's a nice surprise.
It's activism in the sense of, like, political cartoonists and YouTube people have activism,
okay.
You know, just talking about stuff. And
all right.
But, like, he really, like, goes on it on Twitter. He doesn't care about alienating a potential audience. He really just, like, talks about it all
the time.
That's
good that he's not, like, just, like, either, like, ignoring it or just, you know, being like, hey, why does everything have to be so political?
Yeah, just from the style of his non-parody stuff, like his little comedy skits on YouTube and so on, like, style-wise, it does very much feel like a kind of newspaper cartoon kind of thing, or maybe a bit 2D TV.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's a reference specifically for the UK folks out there. But
That's just for us.
Yeah, but...
I wouldn't recommend that you seek out 2D TV.
Some of it is still
okay. Some of it's alright, but yeah.
Rad, thank you for educating us and enlightening us on this media empire.
Yeah, this is definitely something that I never ever would have known anything about, so that's really cool. Is that the Crazy Frog?
That is...
yeah, 8 months ago.
8 months ago, there was something with the crazy... No, that's Bolsonaro as the Crazy Frog.
Okay, I need to see that icon. You have to post it to me.
Okay. Here we go. I think it's Bolsonaro.
Oh, yeah, that's Bolsonaro.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, there you go. It's like... You know, it's like that one Against Me song, Osama bin Laden as the crucified Christ. This is Jair Bolsonaro as the crazy frog.
Yeah.
So shall we finish off with some... Well, you have found us a couple of comments. They are in Portuguese, so I think we'll defer to you,
yes,
Morgan.
Yes, we'll let you deal with the Portuguese language there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I've done the work myself of translating.
Oh, thank you.
All the comments so we can all read them.
Oh,
that's very kind.
Thank you. There are some here that I like by the same person, like continuing.
So, Morgan, would you like to start as Adriana?
Okay, Adriana, 8 months ago, said, "No!" And then she posted again, saying, "This makes me want to destroy the Paul Braid. I hate this channel. Garbage." I think the wildest thing about this comment is that it's from 8 months ago. There's some Beyblade fan who's fucking possessed at the Paul Braid.
Adriana has come to defend Tyson's honor, but too late.
Way too late.
Right, Luis the Fighter, 8 years ago, that sounds more reasonable, said, "Actually, this wooden top is European and not Brazilian."
Thank you, Luis the Fighter. Just
wow.
Very...
Thanks for clarifying.
Very necessary comment.
Oh, yeah.
You know what they don't have in Brazil? Wooden tops.
Apparently. Right, let's see. Oh, my God. A-line...
Alina Pirutek?
Alina Pirutek, yes. Said, "Future reference, Ferdinand."
Yeah, because, you know, there's a movie about Ferdinand the Ball.
Of course, yes. It is
a mediocre and infuriating film based on one of the best children's books ever written.
You've told me about this before. I remember leading up to the movie's release, you were like, "Oh, I really like the book. I'm afraid they're going to make it." And then they made you didn't like the movie.
Well, no, because, look, okay. We'll edit this bit out. This will be in a bonus episode of Tom being upset at things, right?
But that's a new podcast that we're starting.
Tom being upset at things.
He's upset about this thing on today's episode.
Baby, that's my fucking life.
On today's episode, Tom's upset about Ferdinand the Bull, the movie.
Right. So, the original Ferdinand the Bull is a truly beautiful children's book written in the wake of the Spanish Civil War.
That's right.
Specifically about a bull who chooses not to participate in violence simply because that is apparently his nature.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
it is it's a gorgeous story about standing up for your beliefs, about pacifism, about strength in the face of oppression.
Yeah.
And they turned it into a generic fucking CGI talking animal movie.
Great. Cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'll do the next one by Henan Oliveira, 7 years ago. And there's a quirk in this comment in which he forgot to put the accent on E. So it becomes from "and," like the intended comment, I think, was, "Yes, there's been years. Discharge is number one classic." But then it just reads as, "Yes, there's been years. Discharge and number one classic."
Ah.
We're learning so much about Brazilian language and culture. I feel very fulfilled this episode.
The last three comments are Fred, too.
Okay.
You two can do
it. In that case, you can be Kaminsky, and I'll be Edinburgh.
Okay, so, Kaminsky Fontes, he says, "If you are watching in 2012 and saw it years ago, awesome," and there's like a
cringy face.
Yeah.
Then 2 years ago, Edimar said, "I'm watching it in 2017.
And then Kaminsky come back and said, "Wow, I made this kind of comment. Shamed of myself."
Why are you ashamed of yourself?
Oh, Kaminsky. Kaminsky's done a lot of growing up in the last 6 years.
I mean, to be fair, if I came back to a comment I made it like years ago and it read, it had like, "Wow, awesome," at the end, I'd probably be like, "Oh." To be fair.
Wow. Oh, gosh. That's all the comments we have. I think we're almost at the end of the show.
I think we might be.
But there's one important thing left to do, and that is for Morgan to plug whatever the hell you are up to lately.
Yeah.
And where people and tell us where people can find you on the wide, wide world of the interweb.
Okay. I haven't been done much recently at all, but you can find me at MoreKitten on Twitter and Instagram.
How are you spelling that?
M-O-R and then kitten. Just all one word. Yeah.
Cool.
You can find that on Twitter, on Instagram, on Tumblr. It's markittenart.tumblr.com. I also have a YouTube channel that I have done like a couple of videos and then never again. But I'm still pretty proud of those videos.
They're good videos, though.
They're good videos. We would like you to make more of them, please. They're very good.
Thank you. The channel is just Morgan Kitten instead of More Kitten. And you can find a few videos that I made there. There's a couple of videos that I made myself, and then there's a bunch of other streams that are just like impromptu and just off the cuff, which I don't recommend. Yeah. But
we'll be the judge of that.
But yeah, that's where you can find me.
Awesome. Alex.
Excellent.
It's your turn.
It is my turn.
Yeah.
Yes.
You've got a thing to plug properly.
I do. I have a thing to properly plug. So the reason I probably sound a bit different to everyone today is because my voice is fucking shot from band practice.
Yay. Wow. Yay.
I've formed a full band. Name kind of TBC to be confirmed, but we're together and we're playing, and it feels really good. So I just had a new album came out 2 days ago.
At the time of release, like a week ago.
August 9th, it came out. My new album, Passing in Public and Other Lies Constructed, can be found at alexvalentine.bandcamp.com. And it's hopefully by the time this goes up, it will also be available on Spotify, Apple Music, and most reputable and maybe some unreputable Amazon places that you can find music. So that's the new thing that I did. Been working very hard on it. People bought it, and I'm really, really jazzed to have it out and kind of be doing this musician thing, like, for real and for serious.
Hooray. Nice.
Also, you can find me on twitter.com/DEX01, where the past few days I have literally just been talking about my album and music stuff, because that's what I'm doing most of at the moment. Also, I'm on youtube.com/VNDLP, where I make videos about video games. At the moment, I'm pretty much streaming every weekend. I started streaming Fallout New Vegas, and I intend to keep streaming that until I maybe finish it.
So that'll be the next year.
That'll be the next year. Yeah. But I haven't done any streams this weekend because I had band practice yesterday, and I was tired. And today we're doing
a podcast
instead. So
a podcast, just a stream that is delayed.
It's a delay stream. That's all it is. That's me. That's what's been going on.
Yeah.
Cool. You, as always, can find me on Twitter at Gertrude Perkins. That's at Gertrude PRKNS. You can find the show's Twitter at Flash IT Pancast or Flash It Pancast.
Wow.
You can email into the show. We don't have time for emails, as you can tell. We've definitely overrun time. But you can email in to flashinthepancast@gmail.com. And I have a prompt for you listeners. Ooh. Inspired by Rokemon.
Okay.
Which two obscure video game characters would you like to see fight?
Oh. that's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, no Sonic, no Mario.
Okay.
You know, we're talking like Glover versus
Aero the Acrobat.
Yeah.
I was gonna say Elvis from Perfect Dark,
or
but that
one.
Works too. Yeah. So, if you would like to answer that prompt or any other comments, queries, questions, confessions of love, and brownie recipes, send them to flashinthepancast@gmail.com. And as we said at the top of the show, if I've edited it right, then as I said at the top of the show, you can find links to all the videos we talked about and all our previous episodes at flashinthepancast.com. Please rate, review us on iTunes, Stitcher, etc., wherever you get your podcasts, so the algorithm doesn't keep hiding us from all the nice people who might want to listen. Introduce a friend to the good news of Flash in the Pan.
Do it. Also,
thanks.
Please don't be afraid to definitely do send us brownie recipes, because that one time that friend of yours sent us that recipe and we still have to make that thing.
Oh no, you're right.
We are going to make that, and we're going to review that cartoon at the same time.
Yep, you're right.
Oh, I can't wait to watch that.
Okay, so I think that's everything. Until next time, I've been Tom.
I've been Alex.
And I've been Morgan.
And remember that this is my friend, Ferdinando.
Have a great flash! Flash in the pan!